This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our guest, Marissa Tomei, won an Oscar when she was 28 for her role as a brash, dolled-up, Brooklyn-born ordo buff in the film My Cousin Vinny. She later earned Oscar nominations for dramatic roles in the films In the Bedroom and The Wrestler. She co-stars in the new movie Cyrus with John C. Reilly. He plays a divorced man who, after meeting Tomei, thinks he's finally found the perfect woman. To learn more about her, he follows her home, where he discovers she lives with her 21-year-old son, Cyrus, with whom she's unusually close. Cyrus is played by Jonah Hill. The son feels displaced and threatened by his mother's new boyfriend. The boyfriend is uncomfortable with how close the son is to his mother, but neither is letting on. In this scene, just after that first meeting between the son and the boyfriend, John C. Reilly decides to stay over at Marissa Tomei's place for the first time. Reilly and Tomei are talking in her bedroom.
I really appreciated what you were expressing in the kitchen, and I appreciate how open you were. I love that about you, and I'm sorry that I wasn't as open about my boy.
No, that's fine. It's your prerogative not to say that stuff. You know, it's private. We just met.
He's very mature, as you can see, in a lot of ways. And he really pushes me. But in other ways, he's not come into himself yet. This is a very sudden... You are very sudden. Yeah. And I haven't had a man over and to stay overnight since Cyrus was born.
But to tell you the truth, you didn't have me over. I stalked you over.
Yeah, you gave it a little. Thanks for talking to me. No, we leave the door open.
Oh, I was just going to take my pants off.
We just always leave the door open.
Okay.
Marissa Tomei spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies.
Marissa Tomei, welcome to Fresh Air. This new film, Cyrus, is really interesting both because of the plot. You play a woman with a son with an extraordinarily close relationship, an adult son, a 21-year-old son, I guess. But it's also interesting because it's directed by Mark and Jay Duplass, who are – I guess this is their first bigger budget mainstream film. But they're known for a really unique way of making films. You want to kind of describe their technique as you experienced it?
Yes, they work very uniquely from anyone that I've worked with. They write together, direct together. They work really intimately with everybody on the crew, which is also a small crew, and with the actors. And they use a lot of improvisation. And they told me in our first meeting, one of the unique things about them was that they say, "We don't know a lot." So we'll come to a scene, probably, Marissa, and we'll just say, "We don't know what we're going to do with this scene," and we'll all work it out together. And that's when they had my heart, and that's when they really captured me, because I know that saying "I don't know" is really a really creative place. And when people really trust themselves enough to say "I don't know," that's when you really start get cooking.
Have you done a lot of improvisation before?
You know, intermittently in different scenes, like finessing dialogue. but in this case, it was like that was the mandate ahead of time. So even though the script, they wrote a great script. It wasn't just a blueprint. It was a finely tuned script with great characters and great dialogue. And many days, Jonah Hill and John C. Reilly and I said, "We love the script. Can't we just use the script today?" And they prefer to break it apart. And, well, let's just see what comes out. Let's play with it. And sometimes we circle back to what we have in the script. Other times we tossed it out.
This is about, of course, an odd kind of love triangle in a way, in which you're the fulcrum. You have this relationship with John C. Reilly, but you have this very, very close relationship with your son, played by Jonah Hill, who I guess is 21, right, in the script.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, it's a relationship that's so close, could be regarded as unhealthy. How did you get a feel for that relationship, making it real?
You know, because you're going to play this person, you can't judge them ahead of time. So, like, I wasn't reading it going, oh, this is really unhealthy, and how am I going to play this unhealthy person? It's like seeing it through the lens of why she thinks that everything she's doing is right. So I approached it in the sense of they're great friends. They have a great relationship. They truly enjoy each other's company. And they've lived a very artsy and more bohemian kind of life. And they laugh well together. So I just saw it as more of a, just really great friends. You know, and that part of it is really healthy. And, you know, the
right.
downside with her is it's just he needs to get out of the house. Find out.
Needs to find his life. Right, mm-hmm. right. You know, in the production notes to the film, one of the directors, Mark Duplass, says, we don't write female characters all that well. And Marissa did a great job of fixing that stuff up for us. And I think his brother said you really stood up for the character. Do you know what they mean?
I don't know exactly what they mean, but I know that I was concerned that she would be a bit of a patsy because the rivalry between her son and her lover is really palpable. And her son is kind of a pain in the arse a lot of the times. So how come she's not seeing this? So we have to make sure it's not in front of her face. And we have to make sure that she's intelligent and leading with her heart. And that's okay to make some mistakes when you're leading with your heart. But she can't be played for a fool. So we discussed that a lot. And they really watched out for her.
If you're just joining us, our guest is actress Marissa Tomei. She has won an Academy Award and been nominated for others. She's starring with John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill in the new film Cyrus. Well, I wanted to talk about The Wrestler, which earned you an Academy Award nomination, I guess, last year. You star with Mickey Rourke, who plays an aging wrestler, and you're a stripper in a club. And I read that when you were preparing for this role that you went and talked to strippers at clubs in New Jersey. I'm just, what did you ask them? What did you learn?
I mean, more in LA. I okay. hung out with a bunch of girls and somewhat in New York. What did I learn? You know what I learned? It's all true. Guys are pretty simple at the end of the day. you know, I also thought that her, that character really mirrored, I mean, we didn't really explore it that much in that film, but what I learned from them was that what Mickey's character was going through in terms of his body being his job and it starting to fail him and some of the things he had to do physically taking its toll. Like, honestly, just those heels alone really cause a lot of backaches for those girls. And we didn't really get into that, but the stuff that Mickey's character is going through, it's the same that she's going through too, putting her full body on the line every day.
Right,
to survive.
And approaching at some point the notion that, you know, it's not going to
be... Gotta hang it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not going to work
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
Well, let's
yeah.
listen to a scene. This is yeah. well into the film, and this is at a moment where Mickey Rourke, the wrestler, has come to the club where you're working. And, of course, he's infatuated with your character. And he's just giving you a thank you card because you had helped him pick out some clothes for his estranged daughter. And let's listen to some of the interaction here.
Okay. Thank you. That's very sweet.
Hey, thank you. I mean, come on, baby. You saved my ass. What?
I can't do this.
Can't do what?
This.
I thought we had a little something going on here.
No. Well, I think you're awesome. I think that you're a great guy.
So what's the problem?
You think that I'm like this stripper, and I'm not. I'm a mom. I have responsibilities. I have a son. Anyway, you don't want that luggage, so.
What if I do?
I can't go there.
What about the other day?
It was a mistake.
It didn't feel like a mistake to me.
The club in the real world, they don't mix.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I think that's a lot of bull because I think you still feel something.
You're a customer, okay? You're a customer. I don't go out with customers. You got it?
And that's our guest, Marissa Tomei, and Mickey Rourke in the film The Wrestler. You know, the other thing about, you know, this role for you is there's just you have to appear nude a lot. I read that earlier in your career you would use a body double in scenes like that. Was it – I don't know. What was it like? Was it hard to get comfortable with showing so much of yourself in this role?
Well, in reference to the earlier on, I think I just really had to do – I never really had to do anything like this. I think there was like one thing in Slums of Beverly Hills, like a little shower moment or whatever. And that was just, I was a young girl and definitely wanted to feel, you know, super protected. In this, I had already done Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. So that kind of broke me in. that broke the ice. And that was with Sidney Lumet directing. And so, and he was very paternal and protective, and I wasn't sure if it was the right thing even to do. I just really, career-wise, like, is this cool for me to be doing right now at this stage? But I really, really wanted to work with Lumet and Phil Hoffman and Ethan Hawke, and so, you know, I took the chance, and then it was fine. And so after I had done that, it was really kind of, oh, again? Next year? Really? I couldn't believe that those two things were on the heels of each other, and it looked like some kind of weird plan that I had, but it was just happenstance.
And when you said you wondered if it's the right thing to do at kind of at this time in your career, was it?
Yeah, well, it turned out fine. Both of those movies are really good movies. On a personal level, I'm really happy that I did them and got to work with those people. And they were very well received, so that's always a bonus.
Well, we have to talk about My Cousin Vinny, which you won the Oscar for, this terrific film where you are Joe Pesci's fiancé, he, the new Brooklyn lawyer, heading down to get his cousins out of a jam in Alabama. They've gotten involved in a murder case that they weren't really involved in. And we're going to listen to this well-known scene in which you have taken the stand to crack the case because of your understanding of cars and car mechanics. And this is a moment where the prosecutor, played by Lane Smith, tries to disqualify you by questioning your expertise.
Can you tell me what would the correct ignition timing be on a 1955 Bel Air Chevrolet with a 327 cubic inch engine and a full barrel carburetor?
It's a question.
Does that mean that you can't answer it?
It's a question. It's impossible to answer.
Impossible because you don't know the answer.
Nobody could answer that question.
Your Honor, I move to disqualify Ms. Vito as an expert witness.
Can you answer the question?
No, it is a trick question.
Why is it a trick question?
Watch this.
Because Chevy didn't make a 327 in 55. The 327 didn't come out till 62. And it wasn't offered in the Bel Air with a four-barrel carb till 64. However, in 1964, the correct ignition timing would be 4 degrees before top dead center.
Well, she's acceptable, Your Honor.
That was my guest, Marissa Tomei, in the film My Cousin Vinny. You also heard some of Joe Pesci and Fred Gwynne and, of course, Lane Smith, the prosecutor. You know, Marissa Tomei, you grew up in Brooklyn. Did you ever sound like this character, Mona Lisa Vito?
I don't think that extreme, but I could be wrong. My mom is, well, she was an English teacher, and she was on my butt about that kind of thing and correcting my speech from a young age.
Well, this was, of course, huge for you. I mean, you got, you know, the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. How did that affect the roles that you were offered afterward?
I was offered a lot of comedies, which was great. And I didn't really know how to pick and choose. And I knew that I was most interested in a variety of characters. And it wasn't in contrast to, oh, now I don't want to play this because I have to get away from this image. It was more, well, what else is out there? I'm curious.
Right. I thought I'd read that you had done Shakespeare in New York after this.
I did. Shakespeare in the Park right after that, yeah.
Right. But it wasn't like you felt you had to retreat into something that was more serious.
No. I mean, if anything, if there was any retreats, it was just going back to the theater again and again because movie making was foreign to me and not where I felt particularly safe and really not as satisfied. And so I just kept doing plays like I had always done.
It's interesting. You said you didn't feel as safe on a movie set. In the movie, you can get as many takes as you want to get it right. On the stage, you're you're right there with, in front of the audience.
For me, and certainly at that time, being in a rehearsal room with just a handful of people and having time to work on the script together, and mostly I'm talking about in a social way, get to know your fellow artists and get to know each other in a kind of more relaxed way. But I just felt better in the theater.
Well, there's another moment in your career that we have to talk about, and I want to introduce this with a clip, and it's actually not of you, but more about you. Let's listen.
Let me ask you something. You ever hear of Marissa Tomei?
The actress?
Yeah, she's something, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Katie, Elaine's friend?
Yeah?
She happens to be very good friends with her.
Marissa Tomei?
Mm-hmm.
How does she know Marissa Tomei?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
You didn't ask how she knows Marissa Tomei?
Not the point.
All right.
Can I finish?
Go ahead. Seems like a reasonable question. That's all I'm saying. I would have asked
her. All right. So she said that she could have fixed me up with her.
What do you mean could have?
Well, you know, if I wasn't engaged.
Oh.
Could have fixed me up with Marissa Tomei. She said I was just her type.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know the odds of me being anyone's type? I have never been anyone's type. But apparently, this Marissa Tomei loves funny, quirky, bold men.
You know, she won an Academy Award.
Like, I don't know that. My cousin Vinny, I love that.
And that, of course, is from the series Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld and Jason Alexander talking about our guest, Marissa Tomei. I don't know if you are sick of hearing about this or not. you obviously, I assume that they talked about this whole plot line with you before they wrote the scripts, right?
No.
No?
They just called and asked if I wanted to, you know, come and be a guest on their show. And then later I said, well, why did you even choose me? And they just said, we like the rhythm of your name. It really had nothing to do with me. We like saying your name, Marissa Tomei.
So that was it, Marissa Tomei?
Yeah. And well, and the bit that you just played, I really heard that. They just really used it as a, you know, a comic vehicle. Yeah.
Right.
Comic rhythm. Yeah.
Well, did you know that the plot line was that George Costanza would have a shot at you because you love funny, quirky, bald men?
I didn't know, but a lot of funny, quirky, bald men are happy because they're always talking to me about it.
Oh, really? Do people come up to you?
Yeah.
Well, I got to ask, what do you think of funny, quirky, bald men?
I set myself up, didn't I? I guess they're one of my types. I don't think I have a type.
All right, guys, you still have a shot. And for folks who don't watch the show or may not remember, what happens, of course, is that George is engaged, and because a friend knows Marissa Tomei, he eventually arranges a meeting, and it goes terrifically, and you just love him because he's a funny, quirky, bald guy, and then he finally reveals that indeed he's engaged, and you slug him and walk off. You got into acting early. If I know the story right, dropped out of college and quickly got a role on As the World Turns, the soap opera. Is that right?
I actually I had a line or two in Flamingo Kid,
right.
The Matt Dillon movie that Gary Marshall directed, and I was just auditioning through backstage the trade newspaper, the general audition calls, and I just happened to get that job. So even though I was in school and the Flamingo Kid thing was during the summer, I didn't know how many opportunities I might or might not have. So I talked with my parents about it, and my mom said, stay in school. My father said, take this chance. And so I took the chance.
What was your character like? Do you remember?
She was kind of a nut job. I think she was just really like an introverted, kind of perverse, forlorn character. Finally, someone in the town befriended me, a girl my age, and then I wound up falling in love with her father and like ruining his wedding. And it was kind of bizarre. I didn't stay on that show very long. I was supposed to stay longer and wound up getting fired from that. But
you got fired? What happened?
I mean, no scandal happened. I was really actually happy to leave because I wasn't happy on that show I mean, everyone was really kind to me and it was a good job, but I was lonely. All my friends were at school and I was just getting my feet wet in Manhattan. Nothing awful happened, but I was a little depressed.
But it worked. I mean, you got more work and made your way into films. You want to keep coming back to theater, right? And you still do.
Yes. Yeah. I did Top Girls last year on Broadway.
Well, Marissa Tomei, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Marissa Tomei spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. She stars in the new movie Cyrus. You can see clips from the film on our website, freshair.npr.org. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.